You know, I never know what kind of audience I'm going to have when I come up. So I prepared something. I had the staff in mind, and I'm so thankful you're here. So, you know, but I wanted to do something different this year, and some of you I know are leaving today. But I made up a booklet of what we're going to be looking at. I like acrostics, so it's that's in this booklet. And my lovely assistant is going to help me pass them out. You're welcome to have a book. If you don't want it, the only way you'll offend me is that if I find it on the grounds later. But Di, maybe you could help me pass some of them out. I'm thankful for the lessons that God gives us. I found this, I just like this title. I don't normally do this at home, but I like putting things together, and I found this, the Straight and Narrow Driving School. Isn't that great? The Straight and Narrow Driving School. We have a few people in the chapel, they're taking driving lessons. It's interesting, it always started out with someone saying, I'll teach you how to drive. And it always moves to, you need driving lessons from a professional. Somebody who's getting paid to risk their life, right? And the first one is called, let me open it up here, what to do when you're feeling lost. You know, I'm thankful that when we're saved, we have a good shepherd. Sometimes I tell the young people who are, you know, don't know what college to go to, don't know if they should go to college. I say to them, look, Diane, I think Brother Paul, if you're feeling lost, that's not a bad thing. If you're feeling lost, that's not a bad thing, because that's when you realize you need a shepherd. You need a good shepherd. And I told the congregation, you know, they put up with me a lot, believe me. And I said to them one time after a talk about that, about having a good shepherd, I said, the best sound that a congregation could make is baa, baa. So just be sheep. Let God guide you. So I start with a question today. Have you ever gotten really lost? And I'm not talking spiritually, but I mean, have you ever, whether driving or walking, ever gotten lost? I think we all have, right? Yes. When I first moved to Spotswood, I got on a highway. It came to be Highway 18. I found out the name later. But I can't tell you how many times I circled around. And this is before GPS. And I began to just wonder, well, maybe this will be my life, just driving in circles, right? Or sometimes even if you're walking in a new place, if you're on vacation, my wife and I did that. I forget where we were, but we were like, okay, how do we get back to the hotel? Where are we? And when you're lost, I brought out three things. You just want to keep going when you're lost. That's what I found. Because to stand still means you'll just stay lost. So you just keep going. You keep moving. It seems to be the answer, right? I remember I used to share a little bit with my brother Roy he was 20. But like he would just like to just take off in his car and go for a drive. He on Saturday nights, he would get all fixed up, get in his car, and I wondered, where's he going? He would come back later in the night. Roy, where'd you go? Nowhere special. I never could get an answer about where Roy was going. And finally I said, hey, Roy, could I go with you? And he always said no. Finally, one time he said, yeah, you could go, but you got to get dressed up. So I dressed up, I got in the car, and we started to drive, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and I said, where are we going? He said, we're just going for a drive. But I'll never forget, he says, it took a lot for him to admit, I don't know where we are. We live in New Jersey. One night we ended up in Pennsylvania. I said, Roy, let's do something. Let's call. His cure for being lost was just to keep driving. The second thing is this. You hope and long to just see something familiar. So you keep moving, saying, well, maybe we'll recognize a church, or maybe we'll recognize a school building or something that would help us to get home. You know, you just keep doing that. Another thing is that you just keep hoping that you hit a larger highway that will get you lost faster, right? I remember when I first started driving, I got on a highway. I said, well, this is going to work. And then I saw this sign that totally petrified me, the Lincoln Tunnel. Oh, no. I'm like, I don't want to go in the tunnel. I'll never come out. And I remember the panic as a new driver, just saying, what do I do now? There's no off ramps. I don't want to go to the Lincoln Tunnel. The truth is, we all get lost. And I have in the booklet, you'll see it there. If you're alive, getting lost once in a while means that you're in motion, and that's a good thing in one way. You're alive and well, and you're moving. I thought this would be fun. Yogi Berra, you know, some of you remember Yogi Berra. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a big sports guy, so it had to be explained to me who he was. No, I knew who he was. But I thought we could learn something from this, some of his phrases. Look at the first one. You've got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. Yeah, it's humorous, but you know, this is our logic sometimes. You're lost, so you know, we think that, well, I better be careful. But it's not about being careful, it's about knowing where you're going, right? The second thing he said there was, I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early. So, I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early. But sometimes when we're lost, that's how we think. We think, I just got to give it more time. The third one, hey, Yogi, I think we're lost. Yeah, but we're making great time. Again, there's three key things here. It's not always about carefulness. It's not always about more time. And it's not always about your speed, how fast you can go, how fast you can get there. We're all familiar with Jesus' talk in Matthew 7, right? Where he compares this life of walking worthy of the gospel, walking with Jesus, as being on a narrow way. Let me read it to you, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose the easy way. For there are many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. So Christ makes this comparison, saying this life of following Christ is like walking on the narrow way, this road. I'm always amazed when I get to the part where Jesus said, few there be that find it. That came from our Lord's lips. And that's why I say we always begin our worship time with praise. No matter how you feel, no matter what's happening in your life, you're the few that found it, folks. You're the few that are on the narrow way. And we need to thank God for his mercy and his grace. But here's a few things I want to just share with you. There was a time when I felt a call to serve the Lord. And my heart wanted to serve the Lord. And the opportunity came to go someplace where I could not train for any kind of ministry, but to find the Lord in a greater way. Because ministry without the Lord is not ministry. And that wonderful opportunity came in what we call the winter program. There's a picture up there of some of the guys up on the shelf up there, of that wonderful winter program that the gardeners had on their hearts. And they invited young men to come up and seek the Lord and prepare, train. Training was just know the Bible and seek the Lord and see what God, how God would use your life. The one time, my first year there was very difficult. It was so lonely. I'm a social kind of guy. And everybody would, you know, there were a lot of meetings. And then people would go off and seek the Lord. And I was seeking them. I remember, he's not here, but I remember finding Brother Tom in what they call the well house up there. You know, I was walking around and I heard noise in the well house. And there was Brother Tom just seeking the Lord. Hallelujah, praising the Lord. That's kind of how it was. But I remember coming back from having a visit at home. I came back and I got dropped off in Chestertown. If you know where Chestertown is, in those days, 38 years ago, they rolled up more than the sidewalks. And it was winter. And the bus dropped me off, and do you all know what a phone booth is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I stood in a phone booth. Snow had been all over the place. And I had to call camp and hope and pray that somebody answered the phone, the one phone in the vestibule over there in Pilgrim's Rest, to come pick me up. I did get through. I know you were all nervous about that. But I got through, and then I was just waiting there. And I had one of those moments, maybe you did too. I just felt totally lost. What am I doing? I'm 20, I think 22 years old. I had learned a trade. I had learned carpet installation from Sears. I'd gone to college for 2 years. But there was never any promise in the winter program of, hey, if you do this for 4 years, you're going to end up here. There was no promise of that. Some of the guys had been here for 6, 7 years. It kept me on my knees praying. Oh, God, I don't want to be here for 7 years. And I remember feeling so lost, and here were some of my emotions. First of all, who am I? That's a big thing with young people. Who am I, right? When you're when you're 20-something. Who am I? Just what am I doing? That's so important. What am I doing right now? And then, of course, where am I going? These were questions that arguments, conversations that I had with God. What do you want from me, God? Where are you leading me? I found that, you know, how do you end up getting lost on the narrow way? I mean, does it happen? Do you get lost on the narrow way? Should you get lost? You know, there's a lot of condemnation in that. And I thought, well, here are some things of how you end up getting lost, at least that I found in my life. Distractions. You get distracted. There's an awful lot out there to get distracted. You know, here's a couple for you. TikTok. That goes over well with the young people at home. Don't ever preach against TikTok. You know, it's just like blasphemy. Instagram. You know, the phone, right? There's so many distractions. When I grew up in church, in the late 70s, 80s, the one thing the pastor was always harping on was soap operas. Remember them? You know what they are? You know? That was one thing. Like, what is a soap opera? Oh, that's that thing my mother watches. But that's a distraction. Carelessness. Being bored sometimes. These are things that kind of get us lost on the narrow way. Running away from something. Did you ever see an animal that's running away from something? Like I was thinking of a dog. You know, they run sometimes looking backwards. And that's not good for the narrow way. Or how about this, just too much traffic. Your life gets just too busy. These are ways in which we end up lost on the narrow way, on God's way, on His directing us. I had discovered something, that being emotionally lost can be a lot like being physically lost. Just consider this, if it applies to maybe your life when you felt lost. You just want to keep going, like I mentioned, right? Got to keep going. There's a truth to that. You hope and long for something familiar that will bring you back. Or you just, a larger highway. Those things apply to us. So when I felt this way, even in my ministry, the Lord gave me the word lost as an acrostic. And that's what I want to bring out today for us. That maybe I hope and trust will help you. And number one, L, look for the wrong turn. Look for the wrong turn. Just stop and look for the wrong turn. And the word that God has blessed us Christians with is the word repentance. What a gift that is, repentance. I have there in the Greek word, metanoia, right? It's is used of true repentance, a change of mind and purpose and life to which remission of sin is promised. That change of mind, repentance. I have there in our booklets, everyone makes mistakes, but not everybody faces them. And this is so important when you are feeling lost on the narrow way. When it's like, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, or I don't know where I'm at. It's always good to look for the wrong turn. God, where did I lose sight of you? Lord, where do I need to just say, I'm sorry? And I'm thankful that you shared that, or your sister shared that. God stops us. Instead of keep going and says, wait a minute, you made a wrong turn. You know, sometimes it's in a relationship to say, I'm sorry, and to clear that. Sometimes it's a bad choice that you need to recognize and say, Lord, I just did that on my own. I wasn't listening to you. And just to say, God, I repent of that. I humble myself. And that's the beginning of being found. I have here instructions for crossing the road. I remember my mother used to harp on us. Look, if you're going to walk to school, you get to the road. If there's no crossing guard, stop, look, and listen. Remember that, some of you? Stop, look, and listen. It's so good to apply to our Christian life. Don't just keep going. Don't run across the road. If you're feeling a little lost on the narrow way, stop. Look. Listen. That's what the Holy Spirit told Jeremiah to yell at the people of Israel when they were lost. And you'll find it there in Jeremiah 6:16. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. Just stop. Just stop. And just pause and say, Lord, I'm looking for the old ways. You know, all the new things, all the new ideas, all the new philosophies, all the new ideologies. That's not it. It's the old time gospel. It's back to basics. I'm looking for that, Lord, and I'm listening. And that's the message Jeremiah had for Israel when they were lost. I love this verse from Isaiah 30. I have it there for you. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and affliction for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. Now, it's interesting there. Isaiah said the Lord sometimes allows that adversity. But notice he said it's your food and your affliction is your drink. But he will teach you. Sometimes not having toilet paper can be quite a trial. So true, right? Small thing. But he'll teach you. And you will see your teacher with your own eyes. And you will hear a voice saying what? This is the way. Right? Turn around. Walk here. Mm-hmm. How often, folks, we ignore that voice? And we concentrate on how lost we feel, right? Oh, I don't know. How many times do you have to say, I don't know, till you finally realize you don't know, right? And how that's not going to help you find your way. But stopping, looking, and listening, and realizing that the Holy Spirit can speak to you today. You know, here's the thing, folks. Brothers and sisters, God did not send the Holy Spirit for heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit for our lives here on earth. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise. This is the comforter. This is the time that we need to listen and say, I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. I might feel lost, but feelings are quite deceptive, and that's the next thing. L does mean absolutely look for the wrong turn and realize where you made a mistake, but O is for you have to outlast your desire to quit. You have to outlast that desire. That's from the enemy. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just say forget it? You know? When you start feeling lost on the narrow way, you need to know that's the voice of the enemy. Just stop. Just quit. If you're driving and you get lost, and some of you have done that, right? Do you just, after you finally make your way home, do you just say, that's it? I'm surrendering my driver's license. I got lost. You don't do that. Well, we don't do that on the narrow way either. I mean, sometimes it's frustrating when you're trying to find your way. Of course, we do have GPS now, and that can be frustrating, right? Like, oh, thank you for leading me, right? Our emotions lie to us. Sometimes our fears are nothing but inflated imaginations that rule and reign over us, right? Now notice this, whether it's frustrations, emotions, or fears, all of these things have one thing in common, they're quitters. And they're tools of the enemy to get you to stop and to quit on the narrow way. And you know, when you do quit on the narrow way, when you do yield to frustrations or our emotions and our fears, you know what happens? You find yourself on the Broadway. Why? Why do you find yourself on the Broadway? Because they seem to know where they're going. They're following the dictates of their own heart. And there's this assurance and there's this comfort on the Broadway of like, well, at least we're going somewhere. But the truth is, everyone ends up somewhere, but not everyone ends up somewhere on purpose. God wants you to end up somewhere on purpose. He has a guidance. He has guidance for us. He has direction for us. And I know sometimes when we're a young Christian, sometimes when you get on the other end of the spectrum, older, what's my purpose, God? What's my purpose? And the enemy likes to inflate that to you finally feel so lost. You need to outlast those feelings of being lost and say, wait a minute, he found me years ago. He found me. He brought me into his kingdom. He's the good shepherd. He hasn't lost me. I've lost him. But what's the promise? This shepherd seeks out the one out of the 99. That's his heart. He'll find you. I like this illustration. I got it from way back when I had, remember they used to, maybe they still do, driving class in school? If you're willing to show, how many of you have had the driver's ed course where they show you those horrible films? That's what they did. They were like, you're going to learn to drive. It's a privilege. Watch this. And then they show you one accident after another. Most of us in the class were like, I want to live. Well, I like this. The teacher said, it's like racing to a red light. You consume a lot of fuel only to come to an abrupt stop. And if the enemy can get us panicking because of how we feel on the narrow way, because I feel lost, Lord. This don't make sense. I don't understand this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where you're at. If the enemy can get you, you know, what's it like? He's getting us all revved up all revved up, and he keeps feeding us, and our emotions start going, and you know how honest your emotions are, right? And then it's like racing to a red light. You're using a lot of fuel, and you're getting nowhere. And God doesn't want that. It says here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, I think he knew a little bit about sometimes feeling the enemy causing him to feel lost on the narrow way. But he had this by the Holy Spirit, Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but what? But I press on. I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The Holy Spirit saying, you know, I got you. Have that press. How we need that press today. All right. Speaking of pressing on, S, speak to someone who's been there. This is so important. Young or old, speak to someone who's been there. See, you don't need to drive all over creation till you find your way. Just ask for directions. That's what I could never get my brother to do. There's a phone booth, Roy. Let's stop and call Mom. No way. We didn't have cell phones in those days. It's amazing how many times, if I'm to be honest with you, I got the light of having that press to keep moving forward, the press, and that's good, but you know you need to stop and ask for direction sometimes. Men don't like to do that. We'll find our way. And until our wives tell us, have you had enough? Right? 85% of what we go through as young people has been experienced by elders. This is so important. And then Proverbs says this, fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. I'm thankful that I've had saints in my life. I hope you do. I've had saints in my life that I could talk to, that I knew that I've watched their lives, and I've watched them being guided and listening to the Holy Spirit. And what a shortcut that is, to just go and ask somebody who's been on the road a little further down the road and to say, you know, can I ask you something? No matter what you're going through, if you're wise, you'll find that if you have a saint in your life, that they've been there and they know a little bit about what you're going through. The enemy likes to think that you're a special case. Nobody else knows about this. Maybe it's a besetting sin in your life that you struggle with, and you grow up in condemnation all the time and guilt because you know there's this one thing, and you feel whenever there's a move of the Holy Spirit, that's for others, it's not for me. You know, talk to somebody. Talk to a saint in your life. Talk to an elder. You know what you're going to find out? You're not a special case. They've been there. But they learned that the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than whatever is in your life. And so speak to someone. You know, the story of Rehoboam in the Old Testament, the son of Solomon, after the split of the kingdom, you know this story well, I hope you do, from 1 Kings 12. He rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Here's what we do sometimes. Maybe you're a little bit lost because you got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe your relationship hit a crisis time and you're feeling a little lost. God, you didn't see it coming. This blindsided me. This adversity, and you're confused. You know what? This is what I've watched so many in the chapel sometimes do. Oh, well, remember this? It used to be represent phone. It's more like this now. You know? Yeah. Hi, Nellie. You're not going to believe what happened to me. Yeah. I know. I always thought he was a bum. Right? You start, you know, or, oh, you get on the phone and it's like, Yeah, I just got back from the doctor. You know, and you talk so much about it, your friend's making funeral arrangements. Yeah, it's true. You know, that's a mistake. Rebo made that mistake. He talked with those, and they talked over the situation, and you know, find somebody, find an elder in your life, somebody that's been down that narrow road. Listen to them. Say to them, I need prayer. Call the pastor. If you got a good pastor that knows how to pray, then you know we'll pray and not just say, we'll be praying for you. Sometimes that's just, you know, oh, we're going to be praying for you. You know, who'll pray? Tell them, talk to them about it. Help them to help them by the Holy Spirit who's in their life to deflate your over-inflated imagination and fears. They may not have all the answers, but they know who does have the answers. And it's not their job to answer every question that comes up, whether it's relation or whether it's your well-being or your whatever you're going through. It's not their job to answer your questions. Their job is to lead you by the Holy Spirit to the one who can answer your questions, to get you to pray, to get you at a place of peace where you can hear the Holy Spirit's voice. That's a good saint in your life. Do you have one? I hope you do. I hope that you do. I thank God for the saints in my life. They were there for me. And you know, they taught me to run to them. Reverend Gardner, you'll see his picture, the first director. God, oh, I thank God for the gift he was in my life, you know. And every time I went to him, you know, he was like, well, Keith, well, you know, they asked you, this is a saint in life. You ready for this? Ready? I'm looking for answers. What do you think? But you know what he did was he was getting me to look to the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, Sister Grace Schulteis, my other mentor, my other teacher, you know what she would do? And this is so true. I would go to her with a problem, and she would go, Keith, I went through that. You did? I'm still living. Okay. No matter what it was, pick a topic. I went through that. It was encouraging. All right, three reasons real quick here. Three reasons we don't ask for advice. You ready? We've received bad advice in the past. Have you? You know what I mean? You've received bad advice in the past. And that's just a lie of the enemy. Okay, that's going to happen. But there are saints out there that God wants to use, and they'll give you good advice. Number two, we determine to do things our way. I got to fend for myself. It's about pride. We heard that again. Thank you for being led by the Holy Spirit. I was nodding my head to everything you said, including being abandoned with no toilet paper. Hey, look. We all want to do it our way. I got to figure this out. God gave me a brain. You ever hear that one? He did give you a brain, but he wants to direct your brain. But we want to do things ourselves. Number three, we don't want people or even ourselves to admit that we're lost. And that's the problem when you're on the narrow way for a while. You know, it's a pride thing where I'm not supposed to be lost. Nobody knows. Nobody's supposed to know that I feel lost. I mean, I've been on the way a long time. I have a position in the church. And it would be for me to stand up and say, please pray for me. I feel a little lost. I can't do that. Well, I want to tell you something. I've been a pastor now, like I said, for 38 years, and there were times when I just felt lost on the narrow way, frustrated. God, where are you? God, that don't make sense. God, I don't get it. And there's something too, just saying, wait a minute, that I can talk to somebody about this. There's somebody I can confer with. Here's a T. Trust the one who is higher than yourself. Listen to what David said in Psalm 61, too. When my heart is overwhelmed, what's he going to do? His prayer is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You need some, you know, we all need this on the narrow way. We need to get to a place where we can trust the one who sees things in a different perspective. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says there in Job, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all our steps. Isn't that a comfort to know that God sees all our steps? He knows. And, you know, we project onto God. Like God's saying, I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. He knows our steps. Mm-hmm. I have vantage point. And you know what a vantage point is? That vantage point is somebody that's higher up on the mountain and can see the whole scale and the whole lay of the land, right? A position that affords a broad overall view or perspective as of a place or situation. That's where our Lord is. He sees you all your steps. He sees beyond your circumstance. So to close out this morning, how to take advantage of the one with a vantage point. How to take advantage of that? This is so simple. Three things. You need to look up, you need to listen up, and you need to step up. I'll just explain them briefly. You need to look up. You need to look up. Stop looking down. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you're going to find your way if you just study the path. And that's a mistake. It's not studying the path. It's looking up and following the shepherd. And it's so hard when you're distracted, when you're discouraged, when you're feeling your emotions are ruling and reigning. It's so hard to look up. Sometimes you'll come into a service, and the service will begin with a glorious hymn or chorus and praise, and it's like, that's the last thing I feel like doing today is praising. If the last thing I feel like doing is worshiping, maybe you had a week where you said the wrong thing. You looked at the wrong thing. Oh, Christians don't do that. Yeah, they do. You know, your attitude was wrong. And you come into church, and I love the phrase, and we all, I'm no hypocrite. I'm not going to sit there and praise the Lord. And it's like, you've got the wrong idea about worship. You really do. As if worship is about you. Worship is about the one that we read in Revelation, who has taken the scroll and opened it and began a new testament to where I can come as I am. Do you realize that that's what the gospel's about? That you can come as you are? You don't have to get dressed up, fixed up. You don't have to be, well, I'm praising him now because I had a great week and I did everything right. Don't that sound a little bit like the law? Isn't that the Old Testament? Well, then what is the New Testament? The New Testament is, God, I haven't obtained yet, but I feel your heart pulling me towards perfection. I feel your heart accepting me as I am and able to make me what I ought to be, body, soul, and spirit. That's the gospel. So when I come to church, even as a pastor, maybe I had a week of just yelling at Diane, where's my food? Why is my laundry not done? Oh, I'm going to pay for that one. No, she didn't. But I mean, maybe you just had, even as a pastor, I come in, and believe me, I don't feel like worshiping sometimes, but I'm looking up. Yes. I'm looking up. Yes. That's where my help comes from. Mm-hmm. That's the strength. Why, Lord Jesus, here I am. I can't tell you how many young people who've had a besetting sin in their life, when they started to look up and say, Jesus, here I am. I rid myself of the condemnation. You know what I am, and you know how I think. And Lord, but I come to you because you're the only one that can change my heart. That's looking up. Jehoshaphat, when the armies came and he didn't know what to do. Look at the wonderful words here from 2 Chronicles 20. For we have no power. It's okay to say that. It's okay. I've got no power against a great multitude. All these things in my life, that I've no power that is coming against us, he said. And then I don't know what to do. but what? Our eyes are upon you. Learn that lesson. Learn that lesson. My eyes are on you. I'm looking up. I'm not going to study my heart. I'm not going to study my failures. I'm not going to study how flawed I am. Oh, sometimes you just get so caught in the enemy. We listen more to the enemy, how flawed we are. You know, you want, well, the Holy Spirit, every time He speaks to you about a flaw in your life, He's going to say, but I got a way of making you what you should be. Yes. It's always that way. Yes. The enemy doesn't give you that. So you look up and say, here I am, take me as I am, make me what I ought to be. The second thing, you need to listen up. Proverbs 8:32. And so, my children, listen to me, for happy are all who follow my ways. Listen to my counsel and be wise. Don't, this version, I like it. Don't ignore it. I think we all had this, folks, where the Holy Ghost was trying to talk to me and I didn't listen. Right? The Holy Spirit was, he was trying to give me hints and I wasn't listening. We needed sharper ears. The last thing was you need to step up. And this is so true. From James. And remember, it is a message to obey, not to just listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. You see, you can hear 50 years of good things in church. And that's good. But it's what you apply that makes a difference. Well, where'd you get that from, Keith? Well, let me think about it. Oh, Jesus said something about that. That's good. What did he say? He said, if you build your house on the sand, those who are building their house on the sand, they're like those who hear the word and don't do it. Don't respond. There's no response from the heart. But those who survive the storms of life, they're the ones who say, I heard that, now heart, respond. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten yourself, Sister Grace Schultheis used to say, you got to get yourself by the collar, you know? You got to get yourself by the collar and say, look it, praise the Lord, worship Him. Look, stop condemning yourself. You're not going to change by condemning yourself. Going to the one who rid us of all condemnation. And you know, you got to pull yourself. That's stepping up. That's, I'm telling you, there's going to come a time, brothers and sisters, when you're going to get so tired of the enemy making the dupe out of you. You know what I mean? Well, let me define dupe. You're making you stupid. We're not, you know, God has given us wisdom. And here's the thing. He has victory for us. He has a life of victory for us. And even when in this convoluted world we start feeling lost on the narrow way, the Holy Ghost has help for us. We have a shepherd who is the good shepherd. And he is so good. There's a wonderful hymn we're going to sing in closing. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to doubt? Beside, I forgot the verse already. It's number 365. Let's stand and sing this and let the Holy Spirit seal some of the things we heard today. 365.
What have I to ask besides? Jesus, led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus, led me all the way.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Good Shepherd. We thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. Faithful God, our faithful Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that our Good Shepherd is there every step of the narrow way, no matter how we feel, no matter what we go through.
Yes.
You're there.
Thank you.
You made that promise.
Thank you.
And so we will praise you, we'll worship you, Lord, we'll listen up, we'll step up. Oh God, you have a way that's perfect. Thank you, Lord God, that you're willing to take us as we are and make us what we ought to be. Thank you, there's victory on the narrow way. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have moved us far away from just someday to today is the day of salvation. Do a work in each of us. Bless those that are traveling home. We pray, Lord, keep them, give them traveling mercies. But we pray, God, that all that you have done for them at camp will just be something that you build on. We trust you to do that. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.